Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. How are your relationships doing? Are they working out? Would you like to know more about them? Or would you like to be in a relationship and make sure that you find the right partner? How can we know better? What can we learn about ourselves and each other? And to help us do that is a wonderful guy who has been on the show a number of times before. He's one of my favorite people because he knows so much about this subject and others because he understands our cards. What is that? What's in our cards? How can we know our cards better? And we're born into these cards. Oh my gosh. So we should find out about them. So in order to do that, I want to introduce my guest, Alexander Dunlop. Welcome. It's so great to have you back.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure to come and visit with you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure. I mean, it's incredible what you offer people because it's such insight into who we are, what the mechanics of our personalities are. It's helped me tremendously understand the craziness of my own cards. Crazy enough to be doing my own radio show with a different subject matter every week, which I can handle because of my cards.
Sure.
And what are your cards like?
Well, I'm born to play the Nine of Hearts and the Seven of Clubs. We have two primary cards. We all have 13 cards in our life, and it's determined by mathematics, by the date of our birth. So an esoteric mathematical formula that calculates our cards. But we have two primary ones. And this primary one, the first primary one we may call the birth card, and then the second one we could call the ruling card or the personality card. That's like the way that we show up in the world. It's our persona, how other people perceive us. But the birth card is the primary patterning of our life that's underneath that persona. From these two alone, we can determine a lot about our life path, keys to financial success, how to have the relationships that we want, the challenges that we're here to overcome, how to build the kind of life that we want. We can learn a lot just from these two, but then we get into the details of all 13, and it gets to be a really detailed picture.
And we've done radio shows about all 13.
Yes, yes, we have.
So people can go back into the archives some years ago and learn a lot about the cards right there. So today what we're going to talk about is a richer understanding of how these cards help us in relationships or might interfere with us in relationships.
Sure. So there's so much we can know, as you're pointing out. One of the things that has been really helpful to me in my own relationship is to understand love languages. And this is a concept that gets taught, and it's a really effective thing to know about. How do we speak love? It's like the old airplane movie, like, "Pardon me, ma'am, do you speak jive?" Right? There is a certain way that we communicate love, and it's different depending on what cards we play. And that's based on the suit that we're born into. There are four primary love languages.
Before you even get into that, let's give the audience the opportunity to find out what their birth card is.
Oh, right. So, yes, on my website, which is spiritualnutrition.org, that's spiritualnutrition.org, you can go right on the home page and enter your date of birth. On the right-hand side, there's a widget, and you put in your date of birth, and it'll tell you your birth card. It'll also tell you your current card of the month, as well as your yearly card. But for our purposes today, you want to look up your birth card, and that'll tell you which suit that you're born into.
Right. So if they're listening to an archive, then they can stop, go to your website, come back, and know what we're talking about.
That too, yes.
In terms of their birth card.
Yes.
I'm a four of clubs. You're a nine of hearts. So how do we get along?
Well, we have different love languages. So just a little bit more backdrop, really quickly, for people. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time. The deck of playing cards is the ancient book of life, and it's been hidden in plain sight all this time. It's a little book without a binding that represents the seasons and the cycles of our life on Earth. And in this little book, we can read our lives. And it starts by understanding which suit that we're born into. So the suit of hearts represents the heart, the suit of clubs is the mind, the suit of diamonds is the physical body, or the physical reality. And the suit of spades represents consciousness. So these are the four dimensions of our human incarnation.
But that's a general understanding of consciousness, though. But even the word consciousness kind of throws me out because my personality card is the Jack of Spades, and that's about consciousness. And
Prince
the Jack is the Prince of Consciousness, even. And I call it the Jack in the Box of Consciousness. So if it's the Four of Spades, because I'm a Four of Clubs,
right?
So how would that be different from just my mind?
Oh, okay. So the spade itself is an acorn. And so if you look at the cards themselves, you see that the spade is an acorn. And the acorn is a symbol of the pineal gland. So classically, it was used that way. And so inside this tiny acorn, or the pineal gland, we have our imagination, our vision about ourselves, our belief about who we are. And everything that we are starts with who we believe that we are. So this acorn stands in for the mystery of how the tiny seed of our belief contains everything, that who we are going to be starts in our belief. So the difference between the spade and the club is the spade is a belief, an imagination, or a vision, and it's an act of faith. It's an assumption. It's a primary assumption about life. And the club is the analysis. It's the logic. It's thinking it through. It's categorizing it. It's putting it in a binary opposition.
Left brain versus right brain.
Kind of.
Okay,
yeah.
Good to know.
So yes, so that's a simple way of understanding it in that sense. The interesting thing about consciousness, saying that spades represent consciousness, is that believing is doing. What people believe is what they do. For all of us, whatever we believe is what we do. So people can give a lot of lip service about what they say they believe, but if we want to know what someone really believes, we watch what they do. Is that beliefs are enacted in the actions that we do. So spades are representing the suit of believing and doing.
So it's watching the actions so we can believe better.
Or understanding our own beliefs by watching the actions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we can see ourselves in our actions. Because oftentimes our beliefs are the most transparent and the most difficult of all for us to see. They're the most subtle forces, the most powerful forces. We go to war over our beliefs. And if we believe a medicine is going to heal us, it will. But
or,
yet it can be the most difficult for us to see of ourselves.
Or I might have a lot of ideas, but I want to put them into reality through a radio show.
Yes, and if you believe your ideas are worthwhile, then you would do that.
Right.
If you don't,
or my guess anyway.
Right. Just like if you believe that it's worthwhile to do a top 10 radio show and put your favorites into play, if you believe it's worthwhile, then you'll do it.
Okay.
If there's a block there, then you look at the belief, because it's the assumption that would block you from doing it.
Okay.
And for all of us, we have that.
So let's bring us back to how we live in our relationships because of these suits.
Yes. So we are automatically operating from our suits, and it helps us tremendously to bring consciousness so that it is not just an unconscious process. So you mentioned that I'm playing the game of the Nine of Hearts. It's a heartfelt energy that I bring wherever I go. And it's an emotional basis of decision-making that I decide based on what feels good to me. And if I'm not conscious enough, then what can happen is I get really melodramatic and I get overly attached to how does it feel and what's the feeling of the moment. So that can lead to being too saccharine or too overly into my emotions, which can then lead me into my own pity party of how come other people don't feel the way I feel.
And if you're in a relationship with someone else with a heart suit, then they'll appreciate the feeling
they would.
Need.
Yeah, they would naturally have that connection. So then each suit has a different love language, and this is what we're talking about. And so the heart's love language is, let's feel this together. And that could mean, let's have a hug, or let's just sit and have some quality time and sit in the fullness of the moment together and watch the sunset and feel the depth of our beingness together. So that would be a way that heart's energy would look to connect.
Right.
And of course, we all have all four aspects. Right? Even though I'm playing a heart game, I still have a mind and I still have a body and I still have a consciousness. But it can be the primary way that we look to foster the connection. So hearts is the primary way that I look to create connections with people.
My wife and I, neither of us have a heart. So now what? We've
You're
been
like
together
the straw man in the Wizard of Oz, is that?
Yeah.
Or the lion, I don't remember.
Well, we've been together, I think the scarecrow. No.
One of them, the cowardly lion.
Anyway, we're clubs.
Yes.
We're not hearts. And we've been together for a long time, almost 36 years. So obviously we speak the same language of clubs. What is that about?
Yeah, so you're born to play the four of clubs, and your wife is born to play the two of clubs. So you're both born into the suit of clubs. And the club is a clover. And the clover grows on the soil of the heart. And what grows is our knowledge, our critical apprehension of life, our binary thinking, being able to put things into categories, this, not that. And then being able to share that and talk about it. This is the whole basis of our language system, that being able to discriminate between this versus that. That's a tree, that's a chair. So then being able to communicate that, being able to share our intellectual appreciation of life. And so the way clubs people would create connections with people is simply by talking about what's on their mind. Like, this is what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? And then there can be a shared cohesion or alchemy between the two minds, where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And it just feels good. So it does feel. I mean, you have feelings, obviously. You're alive in this body. You have a heart. So it would feel good to you, and you would feel loved when the other person can intellectually talk your language.
I like that. Feels good.
It feels good, right?
Yes.
So this is how a club person would look to build loving unions. Let's talk about it. And so one way that a club's person may do that is by giving compliments as a way to elicit a sense of love in the relationship. Wow, you look great in that new outfit you've got. Or I love it when you cook this dinner. So there's a talking about it. There's a verbalization of it. It's an oral category.
Right. We like to talk about the things that we like to share.
Right. And so that, I mean, it sounds really obvious enough that creates a common bond, right? Because then we get to talk together about what's important to us, what's on our mind, how we can express what we're experiencing in life. And so that fosters the sense of love, right? So that's how club people would do it.
Now, we're both, our ruling cards or our personality cards are both spades.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Well, before we get to spades, let's talk about diamonds.
Okay.
Because you have the three, the mind, the heart, and the body, right? This is the mind is clubs, the heart is hearts, and the body is diamonds.
Right.
And then the spade is representative of all three in one, right? So let's talk about diamonds. Diamonds is the physical reality. And it's anything we can see, taste, touch, or smell. So if you can perceive it with your five senses, it's a diamond. We don't perceive our thoughts, right? We don't perceive our feelings. But anything we can see, taste, touch, or smell is a diamond.
Or have.
Have and to hold, yeah.
Yeah. Material possessions.
Anything we can physically, tangibly touch. So if someone is playing a diamond game, and my beloved partner, now my fiance, Vicky, is born to play the five of diamonds, then she expresses love in the physical things that are shared between. And this is our, kind of in our Western world, our classical understanding of if a man loves a woman, he gives her a diamond ring. This is a token or a symbol or a physical proof of the love. And one of the things that's been interesting for her is being on a spiritual pathway herself is before she learned about these cards, there was always a sense of judgment that she had of why does it take something material or physical for her to know that someone loves her. And she had some self-judgments on that because she thought, I'm supposed to be spiritual. She's born to play the five of diamonds. And so for her, the expressions of love are physical and tangible tokens and items, things that we can actually see and perceive and hold. And it's been a process for her in her own spiritual pathway to understand that this is important for her as an expression of love. And to let go of any self-judgment she has around the fact that she does want something physical and tangible. So she's told me that it doesn't have to be something that I buy her, but it can be I find a feather on the street that I'm thinking of her and then I give it to her. She likes the physical object that she can actually perceive and hold, and then that feels good to her, and then she feels the expression of love.
And I would imagine that somebody who's a diamond thinks that giving their partner something is equally of value as receiving.
Well, that's just it. And this is where it gets into the miscommunication because I'm not playing a diamond game myself. I've got a hearts starting card And then a club card is my second card, my personality card. So for me, the way I give and receive love is I'll give you a hug, and then I'll tell you I love you. This is the hearts and the clubs. Mm. Sounds obvious enough to me.
Right.
But for her, when we first started dating, I think it was on our second date, she gave me a physical piece of jewelry that was really meaningful to her. And of course, I love it, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, but it doesn't translate. There's a lost in translation. It doesn't translate to my field of experience. Oh, that means she loves me. Whereas she gives it to me thinking, wow, this shows him how crazy about him I am. But in my encounter of the same experience, it's, oh, that's nice. Right? And so then I tell her how crazy about her I am verbally. But
and she says, unless you give me something, I won't know.
I don't know. Exactly. So then there can be a lot of miscommunication. And it's important. So for me, I'm playing a heart game and a club game. And my partner, Vicky, is diamond and spades. And so just staying with the diamonds for a moment, it's been really important for me to let go of any judgment I have around that she wants to get something physical and tangible from me as a sign or a symbol of my love. And for me to let go of any perception of materialism around that, because that can happen. Also, diamonds, people can get materialistic. Like, I just want stuff. Right. I want new clothes. I want shiny things. But there is something deeper going on. It's a symbol. It's like if I stop and pick up her favorite food at a takeout place and bring it home to her, then it shows her that I was thinking about her enough to buy something for her, mm-hmm. even if it was only $5. And that is a sign of love for the diamond person. Now, spades is the fourth suit, and it's the perhaps the most interesting because it includes all the others in one. And the spades represent our consciousness, as we were talking about, that whatever we believe. It's the assumptions. It's our faith about life. It's the unproven existential stance that we take in life. We just believe it, so we do it. So the spades are what we believe and what we do as a result of what we believe. So people who have spade cards to play, such as yourself and your wife and my partner, really want other people in their lives to be on the same philosophical page as them about the meaning of life. How do we live life? What's the best life? How do we stand in life? Where do we stake our claim, kind of thing? Where do we plant our flag? What's our way of being in the world? For Vicky, it was always important to find someone who shared the same beliefs as her about life, because she wants to be on the same wavelength with her partner. Now, one of the ways that we show that we're on the same wavelength is we do things for the other person that we know, without even being asked, that that other person cares about, that's important to them. You know, that might mean taking out the garbage, or doing dishes, or making the bed, or walking the dog. Things that we know are important for the other person, for them to feel good, to feel appreciated.
And buying something for them, too, perhaps.
Well, that would be the diamonds.
Right. But it also does show service. It shows caring.
Yes, it does. So, yes, so this is a good point. So you can have overlapping experiences of the love languages. Like if I take her out to dinner and I buy her dinner, then that's a diamond experience. But because we're sitting and talking, that's a club experience. And if it's candlelit and we're overlooking something beautiful, then it's a heartfelt experience. So it's hearts as well, right? So you can have multiple love languages in the same kind of experience,
right?
Which is what has been important for us to incorporate in our relationship, because we do have different love languages. So one of the things that we like to do is cook dinner together, because it's doing something, which is the spades energy, cooking something healthy and nutritious, where we have the same belief about the value of this way of cooking. And then we get to talk in the kitchen and express our feelings to each other, and we may even be a hug or a kiss involved as well. So we get to incorporate all of the love languages in one experience, especially if I've bought the dinner and brought the groceries home, then that's even more so.
But that reminds me of my wife and I, because we love to do things together.
Mm. Yeah, that's the spade energy. You like to do things that are a reflection of what you believe are important.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So if you believe exercising is really important, you'll exercise together. Cooking, then you cook together.
Right.
And then this is important for us to understand how we express love and how we receive love, so that we're not stuck on one way of doing it. Like, if I didn't realize that my partner wants gifts or wants acts of service, and then I'm hugging her and telling her how much I love her, it doesn't translate in the way for her. And we also have a lot of conditioning and programming from our upbringing of the way that we learn to give and receive love from our parents. Sometimes that's different than our actual way that we are natively best at. For instance, I had a client playing a hearts game. She's playing the Ten of Hearts. And yet everyone in her family doesn't, no one else has a heart card. And so she, in a chameleon kind of way, adapted herself to give and receive love in the ways that her family members prefer, but it is not best suited for her.
So to find a partner like her family isn't going to be satisfying enough.
It may not be, but she may be so conditioned that unfortunately that's the way she is used to it.
Right.
So that's where some of my work comes in with clients, is helping them distinguish between what they really want that's underneath the layers of conditioning. And we use this diagnostic tool of the Book of Life to help people see that.
Now, what's interesting is that this goes on and on, because there are also the numbers of each suit and how they relate to each other. You're a nine of hearts. What is a nine about?
The nine is about transcendence. And so in everything that I'm doing, I always look for a more transcendent experience, which may sound lovely, except that it also means that I'm always pushing things up to the next level. And I've had many experiences where people aren't ready for that, or they don't want it. They're quite content with the way things are, and they don't want it to transcend into another expression or go somewhere else other than what it is.
Yeah. You strive for that in your life.
Yeah, and everything, and it happens before I even open my mouth. It just is the energy that I'm vibrating, because I'm vibrating a nine of hearts energy. And so wherever I go, I'm always pushing the transcendent emotion to the next level of inspiration, which is great for my coaching clients, because they're looking for that. They want to be inspired to go to the next level of their life. And I'm learning to manage it that, for me, if people ask me for that, otherwise it's me having my own transcendence, which is even realizing that other people may not want transcendence. So it's like transcending my own transcendence. That makes sense.
Yeah, we did a show about the numbers a while back, and people can go back to that. And, of course, we can do other shows in the future, too. What do people expect from a jack? I'm a jack.
Well, the jack energy is, it's the archetype of the prince who lives in the castle and doesn't have the responsibility of the king or the queen. So he just wants to play.
Experiment.
You've got all the royal privilege and none of the royal responsibility. So the freedom to do as you please.
Which can be chaotic.
Can be chaotic, or it can be a wonderful freedom, the aristocratic privilege to be able to do something wonderful, generous, and magnanimous. Forget who it was, the Duke of something who invented the elevator. Right? The jack doesn't have to work, but does something beautiful with all his creative energy.
So the jack is not easy to understand.
So you say. I beg to differ.
Well, as long as you know I'm a jack, then you can understand it.
Well, the understanding is that you don't like anything that pretends to limit you. You prefer to believe that you're limitless.
That's nice.
And that's wonderful, except that there's always, in everything that we do, we give our focus to it. We, by definition, have to give our attention in one direction, whatever we're focused on, whatever we shine the light of our consciousness on. So that is a necessary limitation. It's like the necessary limitation of the human form. It's what allows us to have the experience. But playing the jack energy, you may prefer to not focus your energy on any one thing for fear that it will constrain you.
So what I'm challenging is at Four of Clubs to know more and more and more, which is why I have a radio show with profound guests like you.
They can go together, the Four of Clubs and Jack of Spades. They are very different.
So everybody is really challenged in many ways by their cards, and at the same time, once you know them, you can really excel.
Well, that's the key, is understanding that we don't have to play the victim card, as the expression goes. We can actually master the game of our lives. And every one of the 52 archetypes, plus the Joker for 53, has its own unique set of challenges. We all tend to think that our own challenges are the most challenging of all the challenges. But each one has its own unique set of challenges. And it's the challenges that make our game interesting. Long enough to stay here for a while to figure it out.
Well, what's so exciting about the cards is that there's a big challenge with knowing ourselves better. And also there's the challenge of knowing our partners better. Yeah. And our children better.
Yeah. I found it immensely helpful as a parent. I mean, this could be a whole... to understand
wonderful.
My children's cards and then developing parenting strategies for the different cards.
I'm so glad I know my kids' cards. It really helps understand what motivates them.
Yeah. And where the weaknesses lie so that we can parent them. Even that word, parent, like correcting the rents, the cracks in the facade, we repair the rents.
Or when they're older, help them repair themselves. I have older kids, you have younger kids, and it's wonderful to see them in their relationships with their partners and to have all kinds of understandings of why they're choosing the lives they're choosing.
Yeah. And then what we haven't touched on in so much detail is that there's the suits and there's the numbers have meaning and how we play our game, but also the way the cards connect to each other. So just really briefly, then, the way the Two of Clubs connects to the Four of Clubs is there's a Venus relationship there. There's the love relationship. So you would have a natural loving connection between the two of you. Not because of the two or the four, but because of the relationship dynamic between the two and the four is a Venus relationship.
Okay,
it's
sure.
A whole other way that we can experience the connection. So the Five of Diamonds, which is Vicky's card, my partner, is the Venus energy for the Nine of Hearts. So even though on the surface of it, there's not a whole lot that you would find connected between the Nine of Hearts and the Five of Diamonds, between the two of them, there is a Venus energy. So it gives us the kind of context, if you will, to help work out the differences between a diamond love language and a heart love language. There's an underlying loving connection there, a Venus energy, that empowers us to work through our differences.
It's amazing how rich of an understanding playing cards are.
Yeah.
Of course, it goes back in time.
Yeah, we don't even know how far back. Yeah.
Right. And so there's an opportunity here for people to connect with you mm-hmm. and at spiritualnutrition.org.
So at the website, and it's a nonprofit foundation. The Center of Spiritual Nutrition. If you go to the website, spiritualnutrition.org, you can, as we said, put in your date of birth and get your free reading on your birth card. You can also sign up to receive the newsletter, and you can receive the download of The Biggest Block to Your Spiritual Growth and How to Unlock Your Spiritual Growth. It's a free gift that we give.
That's great. And I've given your website to a number of people, quite a few, who are so grateful to me because it really is unfolding opportunity to know about ourselves and our families in really great ways.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you for all that you do as well. You do great work. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm glad you could join us on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.